show about Highbury Islington. This is thefieldpod.com, the week in Georgia and English, coming to you from Northeast London. Today is Thursday, the 19th of October, 2017. On this date in 202 BCE, the Romans take Carthage from the Carthaginians. In 439 CE, the Vandals take Carthage from the Romans. 1469, Ferdinand and Isabella get married, allowing the unification of Spain. 1912, Italy takes control of Libya from the Ottomans after the Turkish-Italian War and signed the Treaty of Oshi. 1950, Iran becomes the first country to accept technical assistance from the United States under the Four-Point Program. Quite an interesting program worth looking into for those development professionals among you. 1956, the Soviet Union and Japan sign a joint declaration officially ending the state of war between the two that had existed since 1945, although they didn't really do that much fighting until after Berlin was taken. And in 2005, Saddam Hussein goes on trial in Baghdad for crimes against humanity. Birthdays are English intelligence officer and writer David John Moore Cornwell, better known by his pen name Jean Le Carré, and in 1931, the English novelist Philip Pullman in 1946. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tfieldpod.com or send us an email at tfieldpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Any specific questions, we'll answer them. On the 13th of October, as predicted, Parliament overturned President Gyorgy Margvelashvili's veto of the Constitution with 117 votes. Margvelashvili's veto came with six changes to the Constitution derived from the recommendations of the Venice Commission. The version passed by Sneba fully replaced the 1995 Constitution by 2013. Sneba, Member of Parliament and Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze, said the new with the new Constitution, Sneba will worsen its position and strengthen democracy in Georgia. Funny he would put them in contradiction. United National Movement's Roman Gotsiridze called it an anti-people constitution which promotes the establishment of an authoritarian system of Georgia. It is a document which has no supporters except one party, end quote. While European Georgia MPs displayed a banner in the chamber that said, trampled down constitution, U.S. Embassy released a statement expressing disappointment at the lack of consensus and supporting recommendations of the Venice Commission. On October 21st, Georgians will head to the polls and elect 2,058 members of 64 different soccer bulas and 64 municipal mayors. Tbilisi will elect a mayor and a 50-member soccer bulo. Imedi TV hosted the first mayoral debate on the 10th of October, featuring 7 to 9 candidates. Labor Party candidate Gyorgy Gugava was not invited because Labor leader Shalvan Atalashvili had previously made insulting statements about the channel. Well, that's super grown up. Central Elections Commission has begun printing the 9.5 million ballots that will be used. Each voter will receive three ballots, one for party list polls for soccer bulas, one for majoritarian soccer bula members, and one for electing city and municipality mayors. Campaigns are running television ads that show how to fill in the ballots. In the last week or so, Otsneba's Kahi Kaladze has presented his educational, cultural, and sports policies, reached out to young voters. United National Movement Zal Udomashvili and independent Aliko Elisashvili have presented their prospective municipal department heads. UNM also organized a march on the 15th of October from Rustaveli Metro towards Bidzina's house in protest of his recent Tbilisi land deals like the one Lari parking lot on Freedom Square. At the rally, UNM Sakrabulo chairman candidate Nika Melia addressed Bidzina saying, "Do not dare to rig the October 21st elections. Do not dare to raid the polling stations. Do not dare to steal the votes of the Georgian population, including in Tbilisi. If that is the case, we will go neither to Mr. Kvitikashvili, nor the Sakrabulo, nor Manian, nor Kaladze. We will come here to Bidzina's house on the 21st of October." In response to the rallies, Kaladze called UNM a bankrupt, marginal political party. European Georgia held a campaign event where they emphasized plans to increase pensions by 50 lari and give socially vulnerable citizens 70 lari. They are running TV ads with the words 50 lari and 70 lari floating across the screen the entire time as pensioners buy medicine in the background. European Georgia has also promised to create 35,000 new jobs. The development movement is working to gain spots on the 25 municipalities and hopes to use municipal elections this year to surprise Georgia in 2020. More opposition candidates have been pressured to withdraw from races, including European Georgia candidates in Tetriscato and Gardabani municipalities and UNM candidates in Zugdidi. Local NGOs have called for an investigation, saying that the withdrawals cast a shadow over a peaceful, equal, fair, and competitive election environment and may be the result of illegal actions. In addition, the development movement has expressed concerns about election violations in Tamanisi municipality, where shots were fired at a banner featuring their mayoral candidate, and reports were made about Sneva pressuring local Azeri voters. Filings with State Audit Office show that in September, Otsneva raised over 4 million lari out of a total of 4.5 million lari donated to political parties. European Georgia was the second largest recipient, with a little over 335,000 lari. UNM comes in third with approximately 36,000 lari. Parliamentary committees have finished initial discussions on the 2018 budget. The draft was presented by Deputy Finance Minister Gheorghe Kakaouridze, who said that the new budget increased funding for infrastructure projects and is based on expected economic growth. The draft sets overall revenues at 10.12 billion lari, up from 9.48 billion in 2017. The expenditures at 9.5 billion lari, up from 9.1 billion in 2017. The government expects to receive 9.47 billion lari in tax revenues and anticipates that the economy will grow by 4.5%. Ministries of Economy, Defense, Energy will receive less than they did in 2017, and everyone else will receive more or stay at around the same level. The budget includes 25 million lari for the Georgian Orthodox Church. Opposition criticized the draft budget for not increasing social allowances and pensions. Parliament must present its remarks to the government before the 23rd of October. The government will then submit the revised draft back to the legislature by the 5th of November. The 41st round of Geneva International discussions, which addresses security and humanitarian consequences of the 2008 war, was held on the 10th and 11th of October. Representatives from Georgia, Russia, and the United States, Georgian exiled administrations of Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and the two regions' Russian-backed authorities were present. The main Georgian concerns related to the continuous ethnic cleansing of and discrimination towards Georgians in the occupied areas. The largest Russian issue related to NATO activity in and around Georgia. The U.S. objected to border closures, borderization more generally, and the demolition of Georgian homes. Other issues were also discussed, including the regional agricultural threat posed by the invasive brown marmalated stink bug, which is not a metaphor, it is a real bug. The next round of discussions is scheduled for the 12th to 13th of December 2017. Turkey, Azerbaijan, and Georgia signed a defense agreement this week in Tbilisi for future military and defense cooperation. The three countries held joint exercises in Georgia this June called Caucasian Eagle. Ministry of Foreign Affairs commented on the Catalan independence referendum, saying that Georgia fully supports the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the Kingdom of Spain and rejects unilateral declarations of independence. This follows statements by South Ossetia and Abkhazian authorities supporting Catalan independence. Mark Velashvili was in Italy this week, where he met with President Sergio Mattarella. They discussed a variety of topics, including energy collaboration regarding the Trans-Adriatic Pipeline project and Italy's upcoming OSCE chairmanship. Mark Velashvili reiterated Georgia's willingness to host a visit of the OSCE heads of delegation, which had previously been blocked by a single, unnamed OSCE participating state since 2008. Dutch news reported that Georgia transferred a Buk anti-aircraft missile to the Dutch Military Intelligence and Security Service in February this year. The missile is being used in a criminal case relating to the downing of flight MH17 in Ukraine's Donbas region on the 17th of July 2014. Constitutional Court ruled that the results of labor inspections must be published. A 2015 government decree specified that the Labor Inspection Department should prepare non-public reports and conclusions, which the court found to be unconstitutional. The department does not have the power to inspect workplaces without prior consent of an employer, and its recommendations are not legally binding, but they will now be public. A transgender woman is appealing to Tbilisi City Court to have her gender changed to official documents without undergoing sex reassignment surgery. Georgian courts have ruled that someone's gender can be changed in official documents only if their reassigned biological sex fully corresponds to their gender. The case is being fought on the basis that it is impossible to have surgery that entirely changes one's biological sex. This follows a recent case in the European Court of Human Rights where three French transgender people won the right to change their documents without operations on the basis that sex change operations resulted in sterilization and they should not be forced to become sterile to have their gender identities recognized. Supreme Court of South Ossetia has labeled Jehovah's Witnesses as an extremist organization for propagating extremist ideas and literature. This follows a similar Russian declaration this past July. The Russian cases were related to literature claiming that the religion of Jehovah's Witnesses was superior to other religions, sort of like what the Bible says. Jehovah's Witnesses have been banned in Abkhazia since 1995. South Ossetian Interior Ministry is progressing with previously announced plans for an information coordination center that will include Russian Military of Interior, Russian Ministry of Interior offices permanently stationed in South Ossetia. The ministry has created the board that will oversee the implementation of the rest of the project. A memorial was held at the Holy Trinity or Sameba Cathedral in Tbilisi last week to honor 25 people who died in the 1992-93 war in Abkhazia and whose bodies were recently identified by the Red Cross. Those honored include Security Service Colonel Mamia Alassania, Sukhumi Mayor Guram Gabaskhiria, who was posthumously awarded the title of National Hero by President Mark Velashvili. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili and Parliamentary Chair Kobakhidze were also in attendance. Abkhazian President Raul Khadjimba has appointed a new Minister of Internal Affairs, Gadi Arshba. Arshba is expected to address the recent crime surge that has been affecting Abkhazia. His most recent position was with the Russian Ministry of Internal Affairs section dedicated to the North Caucasus, where he has been working since 2013. While discussing the relatively new introduction of residence permits to ethnic Georgians, the head of Gali District of Abkhazia, Temur Nadaraya, called 4,000 Gali Georgians former Galians that lived in Georgia, quote, but periodically crossed the border to cultivate their land plots, harvest nuts, and other agricultural produce, end quote. He said Abkhazian authorities intend to, quote, prevent such people from getting residence permits because this document would allow them free passage across the Georgian-Abkhazian border, while in fact they have to visit Abkhazia through visas, end quote. Thanks a lot, Temur. From our Santa Monica correspondent, we have news that Abkhazia is planning to abandon normal money in favor of its own cryptocurrency, Abkhazian Republic Coin, or ARC. Economy Minister Adgur Ardzimba confirmed the plans at a conference in Moscow last week. The expected cost of the project is $1 billion. Transnistrian breakaway authorities in eastern Ukraine have also explored using Bitcoin and blockchain technology to prevent both bureaucracy and international pressure. I remember going years ago to the Abkhazia State University. It must have been about 2006. I was there with a translator. He saw a sign in Russian that said, Department of Abkhazian National Economics. He translated and then said that means that they don't understand economics, national or otherwise. The great part of this is that the economy minister wants a national cryptocurrency rather than using Bitcoin or some other pre-existing cryptocurrency. Just make sure it's theirs and nobody else's because that's how Bitcoin works. Speaking of Bitcoin, I just found out that Bidzina gets 15% of all of the Bitcoin mined by the company Bitfury at their mine in Tbilisi. The mine is in a free industrial zone, which means it doesn't have to pay the standard 18% VAT on their electricity bill, which is basically the only bill they've got. Bitcoin mining uses tons of Shuki. Gori Mine, by the same company, was started with $10 million from Bidzina's Georgian Co-Investment Fund. It's worth noting that independent mayoral candidate Elisashvili tried and failed to look at the company's electricity usage and rates while on the Sacre Bulo. New report of the Council of Europe's Gender Equality Commission looks at the 2016 participation of women in politics and political decision-making processes in the Council of Europe's 46 member states, including Georgia. 0% of Georgian mayors are women, compared to 13.4% overall, while 20% of party leaders are female, compared to 14.8% across Europe. Georgia has more women on the Supreme and Constitutional Courts than average, but fewer women in Parliament. Both the European and Georgian numbers show considerably less than the 50% of political roles that should be filled by women. The company Energy Invest 2009 began construction on a new natural gas pipeline in Ajada last week. The pipeline will serve Helvachauri, Keda, and Shuachevi municipalities and is due to be completed by March 2019. The pipeline will connect 11,000 families from high mountain villages to natural gas and is expected to cost 26 million lari. Geostat, the National Statistics Office of Georgia, released a report showing that foreign trade in the first 9 months of 2017 is up 12.7% over last year and is worth $7.56 billion. Exports were up 28.3%, were worth $1.94 billion, while imports went up 7.4%, totaling $5.6 billion. Turkey, Russia, China, and Azerbaijan, in that order, are Georgia's largest trading partners. That list again: Turkey, Russia, China, and Azerbaijan. Georgia's five biggest exports were, respectively, copper ores and concentrates, ferro alloys is number two, re-exported cars is number three, wine is number four, and, interestingly, medicines is number five. Top imports were oil and oil products, cars, copper ore and concentrates, medicines, and petroleum gases. Sounds like a lot of re-exporting going on there. Georgia is now self-sufficient in potato production. This year, Georgia produced 250,000 tons of potatoes. Exports of potatoes have also increased. Poland will soon become the first country to have a first permanent mission of archaeologists in Georgia. The Polish group will be studying in the ancient kingdom of Kolchis and focusing their work around Kutaisi. The two countries are planning to expand cultural relations in 2018. The National Agency for Cultural Heritage Preservation of Georgia said work in Kutaisi could help decentralize cultural and educational activities as they are generally concentrated around Tbilisi. Two Georgian films were featured at the Chicago International Film Festival this week: The Confession by Zaza Urushadze and Scary Mother by Anna Urushadze. The Confession is about a priest and a beautiful woman in a small village. Scary Mother is about a woman presenting her first book to her community and will be screened one more time on the 20th. Tickets can be purchased online. If you're in Chicago, tell your friends. New things to know about in the Seedze department: Heights Distilling is a Brooklyn-based craft distillery run by formerly Georgia-based journalist Nick Clayton. He took over the distillery this year with the aim of bringing craft cha-cha to the U.S. artisanal spirit scene. What better place to do it than Brooklyn? This month has their first project called Strange Night, an oak barrel rested vodka. It shows up. So listeners, we don't often assign homework here at tpeelpod.com, but everybody get out your phone. We'll wait. Now, email two or three people you know in New York and ask them that every bar or liquor store they walk into or past, go by, ask if they have Strange Night vodka made by Heights Distilling, that it's absolutely incredible and they need to get it. If they say they've never heard of it, pause, frown, turn your head to the side and say, Then say, okay, whatever, just give me whatever then. I don't really care if you don't have Strange Night vodka by Heights Distilling. Anybody who writes us a story of what a liquor store employee or bartender said when they did this will get their own very own lifetime subscription for free to this podcast. Finally, the National Food Agency reported that previously mentioned real and not metaphorical brown marmorated stink bug has reached Tbilisi. The insects were first widely reported there on the 9th of October. The insects appeared in Guri and Samagrelo 2 years ago, have since spread across the country, destroying crops along their way. In 2016, the bugs caused losses of 50 to 60 million lari in hazelnut groves alone. Hazelnuts made up 8.5% of Georgia's exports in 2016. Similar impact is expected this year. The NFA has warned that stink bug populations migrate towards buildings and urban areas when temperatures drop, and several Batumi kindergartens were closed this week so that the buildings could be disinfected. In related news, the meme this week is a poster from a UNM rally depicting Bidzina, Kvitikashvili, Kahikaladze, and some other guy, a bunch of brown stink bugs, and the phrase, political stink bugs. This comes after UNM Zal Udumashvili called Bidzina the main Podosana, which is stink bug in Georgia, who has invaded Georgia and takes the country's lands and territories. So depending on who you ask, the stink bugs may have arrived in Tbilisi before this week. Other stuff to read, civil.ge talked to seven Tbilisi mayoral candidates about their plans for environmental protection. Otsnebis Kahikaladze listed a number of issues that need to be addressed, but did not say that he has plans to address them. Udomashvili said that environmental issues prevent a very complex problem, and we will address all areas. Okay, thanks a lot, Udomashvili. Also didn't say anything about how he plans to deal with them. Independent candidate Aliko Alessashvili will create a 20-year development plan for the city that includes reducing the number of cars in the city, increasing electric transit, turning defunct industrial areas into green spaces, and increasing construction regulation. Democratic Movement Free Georgia's Kaja Kukava plans to end residential construction entirely, well, that's smart, by halting any plans to have not yet begun construction and revoke permits and instead build highways, parking lots, and green spaces. Civil.ge also mentioned mayoral candidates regarding their transportation policies. All this stuff's going to be posted on the blog, by the way. Also related to elections, Transparency International Georgia has made a website to help Georgian citizens determine which mayoral candidates they should side with in the upcoming Tbilisi elections. By answering 20 public policy questions online, website users will be able to work out their positions and match candidates in response to the questions. Tbilpod.com's former writer Joe Larson wrote about Georgia-China relations for civil.ge. Georgian Chinese economic relations have grown as a result of China's Belt and Road Initiative, but the benefits could be more than strictly economic. Chinese involvement in Georgia could result in increased stability. If Russia were to act aggressively, China could use Russian economic dependence as a tool to protect Chinese investments in Georgia. OC Media published a firsthand account of life of a Georgian economic migrant to Malta. Woman cleans houses for 9 to 11 hours a day, 6 days a week for 6 to 7 euros an hour. Despite having been in Malta for 2 years, she has not yet had the time or energy to visit the sea. OC Media also wrote about the experience of queer and trans people from Egypt, Azerbaijan, Nigeria applying for asylum in Georgia. According to the Ministry of Refugees, about 20 people have applied for asylum in Georgia based on sexuality in the last 3 years. It's an interesting contrast to the more common narrative about LGBT people living in the Caucasus to avoid discrimination and violence. On the 1st of September, the Georgian government imposed tight restrictions on the use of drones. Before that, photographer Amos Chappell came and took a beautiful series of photographs of Georgia from above and published them in The Guardian. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. This week's dive bar number is 6,350, the approximate number of plants and species native to the Caucasus. Some announcements. Repressions in Georgia, an exhibition about Soviet repressions in Georgia during the 20s and 30s, opens at 4 p.m. on the 24th of October at the Exhibition Pavilion of the National Archives in Tbilisi. It will be on display through the 30th of November. Last Folio, a photographic exhibition examining Judaism in Slovakia, is on display at the Shalva Amiranishvili Museum of Fine Arts until the 8th of November. Limits of My City, an art exhibition focusing on different views of a changing Tbilisi, is on view at the Tbilisi History Museum until the 27th of November. On the 20th of October, the International School of Economics Tbilisi is hosting Femke van der Zeden of Price Waterhouse Coopers Netherlands for a lecture on international taxation. The lecture will be in English. Ornament Fest, a one-day festival of modern electronic music, is happening in Tbilisi on the 21st at 11 p.m. at the Old Hippodrome, featuring musicians Rare Gelenidze, Stephen Bowden, Arno Rebotini, and Tade. The Gift Theater Festival began in October on the 15th of October, will run through the 12th of November. Events this week include a photo exhibition celebrating 20 years of Gift, a German modern dance performance, a production of the play For Real, and recitation of Joseph Brodsky's poetry. More detailed information can be found on their website at www.giftfestival.ge. And finally, on the 6th of Tbilisi, Tbilisi Marathon has been uncancelled and starts at 8:30 on Sunday, the 22nd of October, this coming Sunday. Go out and check it out. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the form on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, for all of those interested in politics in Georgia and the United States and Europe and everywhere else, we'll finish with Canned Heat's 1970 hit, Let's Work Together.
Matter now and